Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Left of Straight Show with your host, Scott Fullerton, as we discuss everything under the rainbow sun, from LGBT issues to foodies, entertainment to books. Join us as we talk to some of the most interesting leaders and celebrity LGBT guests and allies on the internet. So grab a cocktail, it's always happy hour somewhere, and enjoy the show. Now, here's your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, howdy, 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 everybody, and welcome to the show. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. Welcome to Left of Straight Show. It is Tuesday, June 6th. We are in the beginning of Pride Month, everyone. Happy Pride out there. Hope you're having a chance to enjoy with some friends and family, making your own family as needed, of course. Hey, great show today. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you missed yesterday, we had on one of my favorite guests, Nick Lazzarini. He was the season one winner of So You Think You Can Dance and a founding member of the sensational dance company Shaping Sound, that he founded along with Travis Wall, one of his best friends. They are opening tonight in Texas. So a big congratulations and shout out to Nick and Travis, the entire Shaping Sound dance company out in Texas tonight. Touring all over the South and up the Eastern Seaboard, then back to LA for the next couple of weeks. So if you have a chance, look up their website, www.shapingsoundco.com. That's for Shaping Sound Companies, shapingsoundco.com. You can find out their entire tour schedule. So a great show. If you missed that yesterday, you can always download our free app. Go to your iPhone, Android, tablet app store, type in Left of Straight Radio. Pops right up. You'll never miss an episode of any of our shows here on Left of Straight Radio. So thanks for tuning in today. We're going to have another great show for you today. Brendan Robinson is going to be on. He is one of the co-stars of Pretty Little Liars, and he premiered in the new play Pledge this last weekend at the Hollywood Film Festival, Fringe Festival. Of course, directed by our good friend Stan Zimmerman. So he'll be my special guest today. We may have one or two actors from the play calling in. We're not quite sure yet. But going to be a great interview with him in just a couple of minutes here. And then tomorrow, we're taking the day off. We're not going to have a soapbox show tomorrow. I'm getting ready for my new upcoming Indiegogo campaign we'll talk about in just a second. Before we get too far in, I want to thank our sponsors and thank our helpers. A big thanks to Tony Guadagnino, of course. He does all my Twitter, social media posting for me. Alexander Rodriguez from On the Rocks Radio, great friend of the show, is on every Tuesday night. Tonight, just 3 hours after we finish, at 7 o'clock Pacific time, 10 o'clock Eastern time with On the Rocks Radio. So be sure to tune into him on UBN Radio. But he helps so much with some great guests and all his support to me personally. Also, CBT Candle in LA, if you want some great soy-based candles, great scents, lots of great things by some of favorite celebrities who have been on this show. You can check out cbtcandle.com in LA and order those. And then, of course, one of my favorite organizations, it's called Love On Revolution. Go to loveonrevolution.com. It is a pay it forward campaign where you get a bracelet and a card and you good deed for somebody, and it's tracked online, and you see the ripples kind of go out across the country and the world. Pretty amazing stuff. Please check out loveonrevolution.com. So thanks to all of them. As I was talking about earlier, I have an Indiegogo campaign. It's going to start in just under 2 weeks. I'm trying to raise some money for year three. We started the show June 29th was the very first show 2 years ago in 2015. We're going to take July off this month. And right at the end of July, early August, we're going to start year three. But we're going to add video to it. You've been so great listening the last 2 years of radio and hearing me play YouTube videos, sound, We're going to add video to the mix. We're going to put myself on camera. We're going to Skype in a lot of our guests. We're going to be able to play YouTube videos, see what we're talking about and who we're talking about. We're going to stream live on Facebook and or YouTube. But I need the funds to get that going. As you know, this is a nonprofit show that I pay for all myself. And I'm going to need you, the fans and the listeners out there, to help us raise some money for this. So I've put together some great perks from some of my favorite guests that's been on the show. We're going to have things from Terry Ray, Michael Vaccaro, Blake MacGyver, Casey Lansdale, Jay Knight, Del Shores, Emerson Collins, Garrett Miller, Alexander Rodriguez, Paul Richman, and a couple of more who's going to blow your socks off. So if you can spare $10, $25, whatever you have, I really appreciate it to make year three of Left and Straight Radio something special where we can add a little video to it. So be following on that. I'll be announcing that all in the next couple of weeks here. Like I said at the beginning, it is Pride Month. So I am celebrating quite a bit here in Northeast Ohio. I spent last weekend in Cleveland for Pride in the CLE, capital C-L-E, right in downtown Cleveland. This weekend I go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, just an hour's drive away, where they're their big Pride Festival. The weekend after that is going to be Columbus, Ohio. Just about 2.5 hour drive to there, and they're going to have a huge festival. Megan Mullaney from Will and Grace is going to be there. Brian Justin Crum is going to be there. All these great people. And then the weekend after that, I'll be back in Cleveland with a second round of Cleveland Pride with Taylor Dane and a whole bunch of cool people there. So I hope you have some kind of event you can go to in your neck of the woods, or at least can find some family or friends over the internet or someone you can talk to if you need to. This is a great time to talk about the Trevor Project and a lot of different things. Find a little bit of LGBT history. Of course, last year we had the Stonewall Inn, which was one of the basis of our equality movement here in the States, become a national landmark. So much history, though, so I'm really excited for that. So it's going to be a great Pride Month here, and I hope you guys all have a chance to enjoy it. But along with that, this Sunday, June 11th, is going to be a National Equality Day, a March on Equality. Sunday, June 11th, Washington, D.C., we're going to get lots of people out there. It's going to be a big march in Washington. L.A. is part of L.A. Pride. They're going to turn their parade into a March for Equality. Almost a protest type parade. All around the country is going to be different parades for equality or protests for equality popping up. So check your local area to see if there's any place you can participate in there. It's just to kind of let the current administration in Washington know that we're not going to go backwards where we've been the last 8 years. So real important for that to happen. That's going to be this Sunday, June 11th. Of course, next Monday, June 12th is the 1 year anniversary of Pulse. Nightclub where all of our LGBT community brethrens were so faithfully shot down by that mad, crazy guy. So we have a lot of stuff happening this week. And be with family if you can. Be with your LGBT family. In fact, it's kind of funny, in Washington, D.C., McDonald's on three of their locations along the parade route there and the march route is going to have rainbow-colored French fry holders. Of course, he's getting a bunch of protests from that guy that didn't like the Starbucks cup and was white instead of holidays. So there's going to be crazies out there no matter what. But anyway, that's all there is to it. We're going to have a great show today. I can't wait to talk to Brendan Robinson in just a few minutes. We're going to find out about Stan's play and his finishing up of his series, Pretty Little Liars. I want to play for you our good buddy, Shirtless Violinist, sent this to us. And you guys all know him. Matt is a great friend of the show. He's been on the show. He'll be back on the show again. He does great YouTube videos every Tuesday. And this Tuesday, he put out a really pretty funny Trump-Putin video where him and his boyfriend Paul were in, played to Lady Gaga's Bad Romance. And it's a pretty good thing. If you haven't seen it on YouTube, please go check it on YouTube and follow the Shirtless Violinist. Pretty soon, I'll be able to show it to you live. But for now, we're going to go ahead and play a little bit of Matt's Shirtless Violinist, a Trump Putin to Bad Romance. When we come back, we'll have the fantastic Brendan Robinson. Thanks for listening to Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Bullshit, Livot Stoner. Now get out of my bar.
Guys, that was our good buddy Matt, the Shirtless Violinist, with his cover of Lady Gaga's Bad Romance. You got to check out his newest video on YouTube. He just put that out last Tuesday. Guys, I'm so excited today. My first guest has spent the last 8 years playing Lucas on the pop culture phenomenon and very successful television series Pretty Little Liars. The series finale plays on Freeform Channel in just a few short weeks. During that time, he also guest starred in some of my favorite shows, from How I Met Your Mother to Weeds. And he's producing the IndieWire's Project of the Year for 2016, 25-ish. It's coming up pretty soon. This past weekend, he co-starred in a sold-out showing of the new play Pledge at the Hollywood Fringe Festival, directed by our good friend of the show, Stan Zimmerman. I can't wait to talk to him all about all these things. Please welcome the wonderful Mr. Brendan Robinson. Brendan, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Scott.
Ah, no problem. Thanks so much. It's so great to meet you, and thanks for coming on the show. How's everything in beautiful LA today?
It's good. Things are great here. It's actually not a very smoggy day, believe it or not. It's a blue sky and like 80 degrees, and, you know, I can't complain.
Beautiful. Well, first thing first, I want to make sure you're not being held against your will by some crazed fan trying to figure out who this AD person is. So cough once if you're twice if you need me to send authorities or anything.
Well, I might take you up on that, actually.
This has got to be a crazy time for you, my friend.
It is. Yeah, we've got the last four episodes of Pretty Little Liars airing over the next couple of weeks, and then we're doing a two-hour series finale where everything is revealed and, you know, all the secrets and all the plot twists that have been building up over the last 8 years, you know, the last seven seasons are finally coming to a close, so... Yeah.
Well, cool. We'll talk about all of that in just a little bit, and I want to talk about the new play. But let's kind of start with you, bring it all back to you. Let us know about you. You started out in one of my favorite cities, Portland, Oregon. We talked about off air. Growing up in Portland was it for you, and where did you first get interested in the entertainment business?
You know, I had an equally normal childhood and a kind of a unique childhood. My parents are federal prosecutors in Portland, Oregon, so kind of the farthest away from anything, you know, entertainment related or arts related that you can get. But you know, early on, they made a commitment as parents to both me and my brother to let us, you know, explore what we wanted to do and our interests growing up. And we both kind of leaned towards the arts as opposed to, you know, sports and other kinds of stuff like that. So I actually grew up doing a lot of theater. Portland is a very rich theater scene for a city of its size. It actually has two children's theaters that both have children's acting schools attached to them. So
nice.
We do weekend programs and after school programs. And again, you know, for the size of the city, it's unique to have two children's theaters, I guess, let alone one. So I grew up doing theater classes, starting when I was about 5 years old, all the way until, you know, through high school until I left when I was 18. And that was basically like my soccer. You know, that's what I would do after school on the weekends. And then when I was around 11 or 12, I started auditioning for professional and semi-professional productions around Portland at different theaters. So between the ages of 11 and 18, I guess you could say I was working quote professionally as a kid. You know, I thought that I was going to end up going to New York and studying theater and, you know, do the Broadway thing. But I ended up scoring a part in a film when I was a junior in high school that was shooting on location in Portland. And I got a weekly part on that, got my SAG card, and decided then that I think that I was going to try the LA thing instead.
Gotcha.
And then one of the artistic directors at Portland Center Stage, which is, I would say, it's probably the top theater in the Portland area. It's an equity house. And you know, I did a couple of shows there in high school. So one of the artistic directors there encouraged me to, you know, skip going for a BFA, going for a theater degree, and just try to see if I could go down to LA and get work. So I did that when I was 18, and I got really, really, really lucky, kind of like the right place, right time sort of thing. And about 18 months after I moved to LA, I booked Pretty Little Liars and you know, rode that wave for 7 years.
Definitely a success story there. You don't hear about that.
Yeah,
tomorrow,
yeah, no.
Portland, I told you I fell in love with it. It's become quite a bit of filming city. Sean Hayes brought Grimm up there for quite a while. And
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff happening there now, isn't there?
They film Portlandia up there, which I think wrapped this year. And then they did a show up there called Leverage that starred Timothy Hutton. That was TNT for a couple of seasons. And now they film a show up there called The Librarians, which is also for TNT. And that stars Noah Wiley, based on the movie from the 90s.
I like that show. I didn't know that was up there. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's shot in Portland as well. So there's been a lot of tax incentives that have been passed by the state government for film productions to come up there and shoot. So unfortunately, that all happened like the year that I left. So I was already in LA.
Of course.
But you know, I have always dreamed. Yeah, exactly. But I've dreamed about going and working up there on a show that's filming up there because, you know, that'd be kind of cool to bring it back full circle and work in my hometown.
Well, and you're also close to your family. I mean, I follow you on Instagram and everything. It seems like you're really close to your brother and family. That's got to be kind of nice and help keep you grounded.
Yeah. I'm very close with my family. My parents come down to L.A. to visit me. I would say probably every 2 months, and then I get back up to Portland about 4 times a year for birthdays and holidays and stuff like that. But my brother works for Alaska Airlines; he's a flight attendant, so he gets to score free tickets for himself and my parents.
Nice.
It's easy for them to kind of hop around. Yeah, my brother's an interesting guy. He, great guy, but because he works for Alaska Airlines, he'll be like, I'm, going to go to Italy for like 3 days because I have 3 days off. So he'll literally hop on a plane, travel halfway across the world for like a weekend and then come back. That's kind of his style, and that's, honestly why he took the job at Alaska Airlines, for him to be able to do that kind of thing. And, So
I like
it's
that. That's
cool
very cool.
That he leads.
Well, nice. Now, I can't believe you got there at 18 in L.A. That's a hard city at 18. What was your first paid gig down there? I mean, did you book anything before Pretty Little Liars? What was your first paid gig in L.A.?
That's like when it rains, it pours. That's kind of what happened to me around literally like the 18-month mark. I a small role on Cold Case.
Gotcha.
It was on CBS. That was like, I want to say, maybe 4 weeks before I booked Pretty Little Liars, and it kind of all happened at the same time. But technically, Cold Case came first.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that was like my first paying gig.
Nice.
Oh, fun fact. It's kind of crazy. My parents had a connection to a guy down here that they know through their jobs. Who used to be he used to be like the police chief of the LAPD. When he retired, he went to work at Warner Brothers as the director of security. So when I first moved down here, my parents were able to get me a meeting with him, and he got me a job as a security guard at Warner Brothers.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was the worst security guard you could possibly imagine. I mean, like, first of all, I would never be able to stop somebody. I mean, I'm like, I think for a guy, I'm fairly tiny in stature. I'm about 5'8" and weigh 135 pounds. So, like, if somebody's going to break into the Warner Brothers lot and, like, hop the fence, I would be like, no, please stop. I could call somebody on the phone, but I would never be able to, like, stop them. Kind of full circle, we filmed Pretty Little Liars at Warner Brothers. So it was really strange to, kind of start there as a security guard looking after, making sure that people don't walk through sets on the back lot as they're shooting things.
That's funny.
Fast forward a year and a half later, I get to work there as an actor, which is pretty awesome.
I love that. Well, one of them is intimidating, though. I got to tell you, I told you I grew up in L.A., and I was on the outside of the business. I was always just fascinated with the business, never worked inside it. But Warner Brothers was always a place that you looked very scary to sneak into. So I don't think I would have accepted it no matter what size you were there, because it has that wall all around it. But it's kind of cool
they
down there.
They got it on
love
pretty that. Serious lockdown. Yeah. But it's actually it's one of my favorite lots, if not my favorite lot in LA, the history that's there. You know, we filmed on one of our permanent sound stages for Pretty Little Liars was the same sound stage where they shot all of the Rick's Cafe scenes for Casablanca. And then another one, they shot, you know, the majority of My Fair Lady on that stage, another stage that we use. And it was cool to just kind of, you know, over the course of the years working there, just learn about the history and where things were filmed. And, you know, one of my favorite things to do actually is they do the Warner Brothers tour. You know, anybody can buy a ticket and go on this 2-hour tour that they do. And they take people around in little golf carts, but you can hear, you know, if you're just kind of sitting, you know, by the trailers or whatever, you can hear the tour guides speaking over their, you know, loudspeakers. They're giving their tour. So I would always try to listen in and learn something new, because I think they're supposed to learn like 8.5 hours worth of information and history about the Warner Brothers lot. And you know, for a 2-hour tour. So you're constantly hearing new things if you listen and kind of pay attention to what they're saying. So I learned a lot.
That's cool. I just love the fact that you're interested in that stuff. That's great when you're not only part of the craft, but you like to learn about the craft as well. That's amazing. I love that. So cool. Let's get into the TV show a little bit. Everyone, my listeners are huge fans of episodic TV, so they're going to want to talk all about Good Luck, Charlie. No, I'm kidding. Never mind.
Yeah.
We're Pretty Little Liars here. Let's talk about it. Now, I got to tell you, I don't watch the show. I haven't seen the show yet.
Okay.
I don't know too much about it. You're going to have to help me out here with the whole premise. I know that these four girls did something and someone knows about it, but give the very basic premise of someone like me who hasn't seen the show before.
Okay. over the years, it's gotten.
I know it's only 7 years worth. Don't worry about 8 years worth.
Right. Okay. So the show first started. The initial premise was before the pilot. The backstory is there are these five friends, these five girls who are best friends, and kind of the leader of their group. Her name is Allison De Laurentiis. And she is your typical mean girl, queen bee, alpha female type. And basically nobody in the town of Rosewood, where the show takes place, particularly likes her. Very first episode, the pilot, we heard Allison has been missing. For over a year. Nobody knows what happened to her. They don't know if she's been kidnapped or whatever. And by the end of the pilot, the four girls and the rest of the town learn that Allison has been murdered, but they don't know who did it. And then the very last scene of the pilot, the four girls start getting these kind of cryptic text messages and emails and, you know, notes in their locker from this mysterious entity called A. And so they don't know if it's Allison's killer. They don't know if it's Allison from the grave kind of tormenting them. But this mysterious A person says that they know everything that happened between them and Allison, and they threaten to reveal all of the girls' secrets. So throughout the years, it's really a whodunit sort of plot. The first couple of seasons, they try to figure out who A is. Then they figure out the person who killed Allison, and then, Allison actually ends up coming back to life. In season 5. And then, in the later seasons, in the most recent seasons, we did a 5-year flash forward, So the girls are, you know, out of college now, along
you have
with
a
everybody
new
else in town. Yeah, yeah, and there's basically been like a new, they call it the Big Bad, you know, the Big Bad A person, every couple of seasons. So, in this final season, with the whole series finale, we learn who Uber A is, which is the person that has been controlling this this mind game against these girls for the past 7 years, and who basically has also been the big boss of these other A's throughout the last couple seasons.
Gotcha.
So I know
that's got to be kind of wild to wrap up something after 8 years. I mean, is it?
Yeah.
You already filmed the final episodes. It'll be airing the next 4 weeks. Kind of a last. Was this your first time in a really long series? What was it like to end something like that?
You know, it was interesting. I kind of had a unique experience because recurring character.
Right.
So if I was back to the show or not.
You know,
I've had an arc, and that arc would wrap up. And then I was lucky enough for that to bring me back for, you know, a chunk of 5 episodes. So I ended up doing about 1/4 of the episodes, and we did 160 episodes. It was an emotional experience like everyone else because, you know, the show was over and it was, you know, not coming back the following season.
Right.
So there was that weight to that when we were filming the last couple episodes, that, you know, this was it, but the girls, and a couple of the guys on the shows that play their love interests who, you know, were in the majority of the episodes, and, you know, locked into these 7-year contracts as series regulars, you know, they
right.
knew that they were having employment for the, whenever the show got picked up for another season. So for them, it was a real kind of end to this permanent job that they had for about 7 years. And for me, I had already had that feeling of not knowing if I was coming back or not, several times before. So it was,
gotcha.
There was less weight to it, but it was still, you know, it was still an emotional experience to kind of say goodbye to this,
sure.
This journey.
Oh, I bet. That's kind of wild. And then, I mean, and you've even been teased, everyone has speculated that you might be the guy, but you've made
yeah.
the magazine rounds like crazy the last couple of days, kind of dispelling that rumor. But you were thought
yeah.
to be the big bad for a while because all your skill sets in the show, I guess, were part of this AD guy or the big bad's kind of MO, right?
Exactly. My character, Lucas, is technically savvy. You know, with computers and stuff like that. So there's been a lot of cyber bullying and manipulation that happens that this mysterious A big bad guy does to these girls. A lot of it happens over, you know, the phone or computers, or he or she takes over, you know, the like the security system in their house or something technological. So that was one reason. The other reason is because my character in, like I said, we did a flash forward. So within the 5 years between high school and, you know, post-college, Lucas developed and sold apps, successful like game apps,
sure.
And, you know, made, several $100 million, and so now he's filthy rich at the age of 23. Kind
nice.
Of Mark Zuckerberg-esque. So a lot of fans thought, okay, well, this A person, in order to pull off everything, not only do they have to be super intelligent, but they also kind of have to have like unlimited funds to be able to pull this kind of thing off. So that was one of the other reasons why I was a top suspect. But you never know. You never know. There's 4 episodes left. I could be involved.
Know.
I might not be involved.
That
you're gonna
TV
have to tune in and find
show.
Out.
Now, I mean, from what I was like I said, I watched one episode and read about it. So you were real tight. Your character was kind of infatuated with one character on there. Do you have anyone from the show that you saw in between your recurrings, or anyone there that you kind of became besties with that you're going to see after the show?
Yeah. I mean, I think that everyone will keep in touch. But I ended up hanging out and still do hang out a lot with Janelle Parrish, who plays Mona on the show. And she was kind of she was in it for all seven seasons, but she was kind of the original Big Bad A. Been a frenemy to these four girls throughout the seasons. So she and I off screen are actually really good friends. And you know, we go to Disneyland, we do lunch all the time. We support each other in our, you know, kind of theater things that we do outside of their TV work. So I think, you know, she and I will be friends for a long time.
That's awesome.
You know, in addition to that, you know, I've kept in touch with people, and, it's so much easier to do it these days over social media and stuff like that. And I always feel like I kind of have an idea of what everybody's doing. You know, we haven't actually said like goodbye or anything. Plus, you know, this town is so small. This industry is so small, and, you know, people end up working on things that they're with the same people kind of over and over and over again throughout the course of their careers. So I don't think this is goodbye at all.
There you go.
You know.
All right. Well, that's awesome. We're going to take a little break here, guys. When we come back, we're going to talk all about this new Fringe Festival play directed by our good friend Stan Zimmerman called Pledge. Like I said, sold out audience when it premiered this last Saturday. We're going to find out all about it from Brendan. Let's play a little bit of our good buddy Blake MacGyver. This is his cover. You over. Listen to Left of Straight Show. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Come over, you can sit on my back porch, we can go for a walk. When it gets colder, you can climb in my car, yeah, we can talk. Sit up all night if you like, I just can't let your restless feet find my front. 'Cause it'd be too easy to throw open that door and go where we've gone too many times before. You'd stay just long enough to leave me again so you can come over, but you can't come in. On that record, you give me that look, yeah, you know the one. Boy, I can bet you by the end of that first verse the damage would be done. 'Cause one glass of wine always leads to two when it comes to me and you. Oh, it'd be too easy to throw open that door and go where we've gone too many times before. You stay just long enough to leave me again so you can come over, but you can't come in and pretend like we're just a couple old friends. Like you don't know how our story ends. You've stayed just long enough to leave me again. So you can come over, but till I get over you, you can't come in. me.
And we are back, guys. That's our good buddy Blake McGuy with his cover of You Can Come Over. We're talking to Brendan Robinson from Pretty Little Liars, who opened a new play for the Fringe Festival this past Saturday, directed by our good buddy Stan Zimmerman. Now, we're supposed to have one of his co-stars, Daniela Bobadilla, on. She, of course, we know the Hollywood, something coming up every 5 seconds, right, Brendan? And
yes.
She couldn't make it today. We may have one or two calls from the cast. We're not sure. Stan was trying to run a little magic here. But let's start with you, Brendan. How did you hear about the – well, let's start first, go backwards. You worked with Stan, I think, twice in the past. How did you meet Stan and what have you worked with him before?
I worked with him on a Fringe play 2 years ago called Suicide Notes. And that was inspired by a friend of Stan's who unfortunately took his own life several years prior to that and you know, left a suicide note. And I believe Stan was the only person or one of the only people to have actually seen this letter. And obviously, you know, that left a huge impact on him. So he had been wanting to do a piece for several years honoring, you know, people that had taken their own lives and their, you know, the letters that they left to their loved
right.
ones and also publicly too. So that was a piece that was somewhat in the vein of like Vagina Monologues. Where
okay.
four actors, including myself, read both suicide notes from famous people as well as you know, anonymous individuals. So that was a challenging but really rewarding experience for me.
I bet. Yeah,
it was intense. Not last year's Fringe, but the 2015 Fringe. And then the year before that, I did an original play that he and Christian McLaughlin wrote. They've actually collaborated several times. And it was called Meet and Greet. And that one was fun because it was kind of a spoof slash commentary on actresses of a certain age in Hollywood.
Nice.
And basically the entire play took place in the casting room of a made up, you know, television network. And four actresses come in to do their final screen tests for this new sitcom. And then by the end of the play, kind of like the third act of the play, they all realize that they're actually dead and that the casting room that they have been sitting in is hell. And the casting assistant played by me is actually the devil in disguise as the casting assistant.
God, that sounds fun. Oh, my goodness.
it was a great time. Yeah, it was very, very different from the Suicide Notes play. And then, this new play Pledge that I'm working on this year for Fringe. We had a great opening this past weekend. It was, totally sold out. Our show is, it's interesting. Some people have been calling it a dark comedy. Some people have been, I know Stan calls it a cautionary tale, but I like to call it a social commentary about how fraternities at, you know, large universities and how they prepare young men and women, in the case of sororities, to enter society in an unhealthy way, if that makes
gotcha.
Sense. The play opens after one of the pledges, for this unnamed university at an unnamed fraternity at a large unnamed university, after one of the pledges takes his own life. The play, that's kind of the launching point for the play and how the brothers in this fraternity react to that. And then my character, Sherman, goes through this character arc where he's not totally sure if he wants to be involved with Greek life or not, and ends up reconnecting with this girl who's played by Daniela, who got out of the sorority scene and is now, you know, bettering herself and changed her major and kind of becoming a more full, you know, person. So through my you know, relationship with her throughout the play, I start to pull away from the fraternity from the fraternity system, with in a good way, but also you know, along with some consequences.
Right,
so I don't want to ruin anything, but it's a really good piece. It's written by Paul Schulberg. And the funny thing about this play is that it was written 10 years ago, but it was never produced
right.
until now. And there's a lot of parallels between what's happening within the fraternity system and with the president of the frat and his relationship and control over the other guys in the fraternity. And in an uncanny way, it kind of mirrors and echoes what's going on politically at the moment. It's very odd that it was written 10 years ago, and now, you know, this kind of stuff is happening in real life.
Wow, that is crazy. And so you came from the theater background in Portland there, and it sounds like you like going back to theater. Is this a treat for you to be able to go back to live theater?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. You know, in film and TV, TV in particular, focusing on very short, immediate character arcs. Usually,
right.
An episode will take place. It can take place over the course of one night, one episode. In the case of a show like, you know, 24, for example, it happens in real time. So, you know, those character arcs in a show like that take place over an hour in real time. But on Pretty Little Liars in particular and other shows that I've worked on, one episode, you know, will only cover a couple of days or a week at a time. So you're dealing with what your character goes through during that period, whereas, you know, this play at the moment takes place over the course of 4 months. So it's a different kind of work as an actor. You know, I think in terms of character development, you have to think about, you know, a lot more elements of the character over the course of, you know, an expanded period of time and how they react to certain things. It's not as immediate as film and television.
Gotcha. Okay, I understand. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, tell me about, since you went to L.A. right at 18 and got a first series right away, you obviously didn't have time to do the whole college thing. You played now college on television. You're playing college in a play. Have you ever wanted to do the college thing? Are you kind of glad you got to skip all that? Or what's your feelings on that?
You know, I feel both ways. I feel like in a way there are certain things that I missed out on. I was just talking to, I've actually never said this before in an interview, but I was revealing to my castmates in the play the other night that I've actually never gotten like blackout drunk before. I've obviously, you know, been intoxicated, but
sure.
Not like blackout college drunk. And, you know, there's a couple of scenes in this play where that happens to people. So that's why this conversation came up. And I, you know, I attribute stuff like that to, you know, those kinds of experiences, to not going to college and kind of coming down, you know, to this city by myself with a very specific goal, you know, to work as an actor. So it's like, I didn't get to experience that kind of stuff, or like partying, or, you know, doing the typical stuff that, you know, 18, 19, 20, 21 year olds do while they're at college.
Right.
So as a result, I should say both the good and the good things.
Right.
So,
it makes for a long career, my friend. I think between, I mean, just talking to you for a short time we have, you can tell you have a great head on your shoulders. I think that comes both to your drive for the art and from your family, I think, too, from your background you have.
Oh, so, thank you.
Good on you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So, yeah, so I think that, you know, I missed out on some things, you know, certain social interactions. Frankly, a lot of my friends down here in L.A. are older than I am. You know, I do think that it would have been fun to go to college and, you know, spend those years trying to figure out what you wanted to do with your life and kind of experiment taking different classes, and, you know, learning about a wide range of different things.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, I don't regret at all coming down here at a really young age and getting into the market and starting to compete for roles when I did. Because, you know, I do have friends who went to college for you know, BFAs in theater and then MFAs in theater. And, you know, they've just gotten to L.A. or New York within the last 2 years, and are trying to get an agent and a manager and, you know, auditioning for things. And, you know, they're coming to the game a couple of years late. And I think that kind of presents
right.
its own set of challenges.
Sure.
And I've noticed, you know, unfortunately for women in particular, for actresses, it's the later that you go, you know, to LA or to New York and try to get into the market, the harder it becomes. For guys, it's difficult too. It's difficult for in particular. It's like, you know, they have Jennifer Lawrence, who was 23 or something in The Silver Linings Playbook, playing the love interest of Bradley Cooper, and he's, you know, 40.
Right.
So that's just kind of the unfortunate nature of television industry in particular. Is women tend to break earlier in their careers, and men tend to break a little bit later, I'd say in their 30s. So yeah, there's good and bad things to move. Thing. Sorry, that was a
well,
really
talk about
you.
One of the things I love about Stan is Stan brings all these great people to his house for the read-throughs and everything. Talk about a read-through at Stan's house. It seems a little silly. Seems like it could be fun.
Oh, it's great. No, it's great. It's a kind of. I mean, you know, Stan's very, very passionate about theater and just trying things and, you know, the rehearsal process in general, you know, trying things and, sometimes having things be successful and, you know, certain choices not being successful. And that starts, you know, all the way from the first read through. So every single time that I've worked with him, we've always had something, where he invites friends of his to come watch just so that we have an audience, you know, for a first read, which I think is really helpful because it kind of gives us, as the actors and Stan as the director, an idea of what an audience is going to respond to.
Right.
So that we're not figuring that out on, you know, our preview night or opening night, for, you know, the first time in front of like a real paying audience. Yeah, it was great. I had never done a show where it was all told through my character's perspective, like this show is. So just to give you an idea, the play is 125 pages long, but runtime is only 65 minutes. So it's kind of rapid fire dialogue. And my character, it's pretty much it's a conversation between me and another character throughout the majority of the play. So I kind of have, you know,
a little bit of dialogue there.
Yeah, a little bit of dialogue. So when I first, you know, showed up at Stan's house, it was a little intimidating, to say the least.
Wow.
You know, just the amount of stuff that I had to figure out, and, you know, the character arc and making sure that, you know, I give myself enough time to really discover things and do that. So, but that setting, though, where, you know, he invites people over and it's a supportive environment like that, took a lot of the pressure off for this in particular.
Nice. So I love that. That kind of plays or those kind of action that has that kind of dialogue. And you almost think that Stan would write it because of his Gilmore days. I love the Gilmore Girls, the way that writing
right.
was so snappy and everything. That's the kind of writing I love
right.
personally. So that's cool.
It's very Gilmore Girls, except darker. I like to kind of compare it to Aaron Sorkin. It's kind of an Aaron
Ooh.
Sorkin type of piece.
That's a good comparison,
Or Kenneth Lonergan, who wrote Manchester by the Sea. But
right.
his plays in particular, Kenneth Lonergan's plays are very fast paced, and the dialogue is very back and forth, kind of like this.
You are playing my song. Now I'm pissed off I'm not going to be in LA to see it all of a sudden. Darn it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully our hope is that it's going to get picked up for a full run. After Fringe, so we'll do these initial five performances, and then we'll find
right.
a venue somewhere to do hopefully a 6 to 8 week run. That's what ended up happening a couple of years ago with the other play that I was in, Meet and Greet. They did five shows. I was about to say five episodes at Fringe. No, five performances at Fringe, and then we ran for about 2.5 or 3 months after that in the fall of that year. So knock on wood, that happens again.
Yeah,
at this.
From your mouth, man, to your God's ears, that'd be awesome.
Hopefully.
Well, guys, if you're in the LA area, you can catch this. There's four more episodes left. It's only $15, which is great. It's at the McCadden Theater, 1157 North McCadden. You're gonna be there Saturday the 10th at 5 p.m. Sunday at 9 p.m., Saturday the 17th at 3:30, and Sunday the 25th at 4 p.m. I love that the way the Fringe does it with all these different times, so a lot of different people have the ability to go to see it. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, just kind of participating in Fringe, you know, as an audience member also is a really fun time, too. We're sharing theater with both the productions. So that's part of the reason behind the you know, strain. But yeah, if you get a Fringe pass, you can go and see a bunch of different plays, a lot of new works. And yeah, if you're in the LA area the next couple of weekends, it's a great thing to, all kinds of things, not just our show, but all a bunch of different shows.
Nice. Yeah, I think it's something like 300 and something plays, and you have a 15-minute turnaround on each side to
yeah.
stress your set and break your set. And that's crazy time.
It's intense, but it's a really good time.
Cool deal. Well, man, thanks so much. I want to go into one last thing before we go. I know I promised you in an hour we're going to run a couple minutes over if you don't mind here, but I always
for
first-timers and for people that I admire, such as yourself here, to give me some first impressions, because you've worked on some cool things that are – these are just things that impress me or that I like. So if my listeners like it, great. If not, it's fun for me. So this is called First Impressions. I want you to give me either a word, a sentence, or a little story about your first impressions of some of the things you've worked on. I am a huge fan of Mary Louise Parker. How was Weeds?
She's wonderful. Mary Louise Parker is wonderful. I, frankly, was really nervous when I worked with her on Weeds. But she is one of the most professional actors that I have ever worked with.
Nice.
She's the real deal, and she's really sweet as well. So, yeah, I would love
Very
to work
cool.
with her again.
And how was the set of How I Met Your Mother?
Oh, that was great. The interesting thing about How I Met Your Mother is that it's actually not filmed in front of a live audience, even though they add the laugh track and try to make it seem like it is. So it's kind of filmed like kind of how a soap opera stage is set up, where there's this kind of main, there's kind of like this main passageway between two, and on either side of this kind of main walkway, there are these, you know, sets. And basically the fourth wall of the set is taken out like a normal, you know, like a normal sitcom stage.
Right.
But instead of an audience on one side, there's sets on both sides. So they film that like a single camera show. It's meant to look like, you know, in front of an audience. And I got to work with Josh Radner on that. And he, again, like Mary Louise Parker, it was so welcoming, and just so gracious and kind, and took the time to, you know, introduce himself and make sure that the three of us that were in that scene were comfortable. And
nice. And what about Bones? I'm a huge fan of Bones, and especially the stars there.
I was really intimidated. I played the killer on that show, on the episode. So my very first scene was in the interrogation room. That was the very first thing that we shot. You know, this huge confession monologue, and I had to, you know, spill the beans
right in front
to
of Boreanaz,
David Boreanaz.
I was crazy.
Exactly. And, they were great. I think that they, it was a really long scene as well. So we took about, you know, 3.5 hours to shoot it. And the really cool thing that I actually wasn't expecting was that they hung out with me in between takes on the set, as opposed to, you know, going back and, you know, going to their trailers to relax and stuff. And I actually, ended up having a 3-hour off and off conversation with the two of them, just about like, you know, where I grew up and what my background was. And,
I absolutely love that.
Pretty the Liars. Emily wanted to know forgive me, I haven't seen it, but like break down the whole thing for me. And I'm like, okay, do you got 3 hours? She's like, of course. So,
her and her sister are so adorable. I love her and her sister both. That's just so cool.
Yeah. I would love to work with her sister also. That way I can say I worked with, you know, both of them. But we actually talked about Portland, because her grandparents live in Portland. And so she shared with me that she's up there all the time visiting them. Kind of a small world.
That is, I got to tell you, my one Portland story I love to tell. When I first moved to Portland, I lived there for 4 years. And when I first moved to Portland, you know how the winter and the spring is very overcast, right? And everyone was telling me all about Mount Hood. Like, Mount Hood's your backyard. Mount Hood's in our backyard. I swear to God, Brendan, for the first 45 days I lived there, there was not one Sunday. And all of a sudden, on the 46th day, the sun came out and there was Hood like staring me at the face. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. But I didn't believe anyone that there was a mountain close by. It's pretty funny.
It's pretty crazy. That whole mountain range, you know, to the east. You're right. You know, when there's during the winter, you can't even see it. But in the summer, it's great because it's just, you know, miles of mountain range, Mount Hood, kind of smack in the middle of it, and it's really a beautiful place.
The other thing, too, is the ice storms that you get because all that wind through the gorge. Those are the most gorgeous thing to look at, the most terrifying thing to walk in or drive in, but they're crazy.
Yeah. There was a huge storm in the winter of, I think it was 2004, and I remember that because school was canceled for like a week and a half. And that was like right after Christmas too. So we got an extra week and a half tacked onto our 2-week break.
Nice.
And Portland will cancel school if there's like a flurry, you know, not even if it's sticking because it's right on the,
Willamette there,
the latitude, the longitude where it's, It will sometimes snow, but sometimes it won't. so they're never sure if it's going to be a huge storm or not. So they always cancel. And I just remember this storm. It snowed, and then it like sleeted and had like freezing rain. So then there was like 2 inches of ice over a foot of snow, and you could literally just like walk on it. It was crazy. But
Shut
down the whole city for a week and a half. So.
All right. Well, my last first impression. You go here just because I am a geek and I was in love with Charms. I was working with Holly Marie Combs.
Holly's the best. I love her. I love her.
You don't even understand how much of a crush I had. As a gay guy, I had the biggest crush on her. You couldn't even believe. I thought she was awesome.
Well, next time I see her, I'll. She's wonderful. She and all the other. I mean, I guess we're all adults technically, but the actors who are playing adults on the show, Chad Lowe and Laura Layton, and Holly, they were all really fantastic and just had great things to say about how to, you know, manage the success of the show, because they had all been, you know, on things previous to this. Laura was on Melrose Place, and then Holly, you know, tried to obviously picket fences before that. It really kind of felt like, you know, they were passing the torch. Kind of sounds sappy, but, you know.
I love to hear that, though. That's so cool.
Yeah. Looking out for, you know, the actors that were, this is kind of like their first big thing. And, you know, they had a lot of great things to say, and it's interesting. They all said that with this show in particular, because it started around the time, you know, when Twitter was first starting, like 7 years ago, and then, you know, Instagram started a couple of years later. They were telling me that, you know, back during Melrose Place and Charmed and stuff, they would get actual fan mail, like physical fan mail.
right.
And, you know, the production would drop off buckets of stuff. And we barely got any of that kind of stuff for Pretty Little Liars, because it's, you know, everybody's on social media now. So there's, for good and bad, you're able to get the fan reaction right away. And, you know, that's what they do now instead of sending physical fan mail. So that was pretty cool
funny
to hear that from them.
There you go. Well, that'll be my only two asks for imposing myself on you, since I don't know you. If you could ever get Holly Marie Combs on this show, you would be my best friend for life. You would get Christmas cards every year. I'm telling you this. I love that woman.
My cousins, who are about 10 years older than I am, that was the reason why they watched Pretty Little Liars also, because it had nothing to do with me. They were just like, oh, Holly Marie Combs. You know, because that was their show, and they were in high school. So
that would be me. I look through the cast list, say, like, I'm doing my research. Holly Marie Combs is like, wait a second, here, how did I miss this show?
Yeah,
I watch every other freeform show there is. I'm all about the Shadowhunters and the Stitchers. By the way, you're working with Ritesh too on that show. You're working
Ritesh is great.
I'm like, tell me about Ritesh. He seems very. I love him. I don't know him from Adam or anything else with Stitchers, but he just seems way cool.
Yeah, he's awesome. I mean, like, what you see on screen in Stitchers, that's, like, how he is in real life.
Nice.
He's very, very funny, really, really awesome, just laid-back guy, and really super talented also. He's a great actor with great instincts. I'd love to work with him again.
All right, well, those are my two requests. If you ever talk to them again, you say, you know someone that wants them on their show really, really badly.
Absolutely.
Well, give everyone of my guests here, I appreciate you staying a little extra minutes long here. Thanks so much for playing with me. Give everyone your social media, because you do, like I said, you have a great Instagram. You're very cool with your parents. You do some really cool sceneries. I think you have a very good eye for the camera, my friend. Are you good looking behind
you? Thanks. It's just my name. It's at Brendan, B-R-E-N-D-A-N, Robinson, R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N. And that's also my Twitter handle also. Give me a follow, give me a shout out, say that you listened to my interview here, and hopefully you like it.
And there you go. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. Stay on the line for me here, Brendan. We'll play out here, and I'll talk to you a bit before we go. Guys, again, this pledge is playing the next four weekends, or at least the next three weekends, Saturday the 10th, Sunday the 11th, Saturday the 17th, and Sunday the 25th at the McCadden Theater. It's Pledge starring right here, Brendan Robinson, along with Daniela Bobadilla, Kevin Kloh, Alex Dian, Torin Kitts, and Artie O'Daly, and, of course, directed by our good friend Stan Zimmerman. We'll talk to you next week. We're going to play out today with the great Preston Wiggins with Into the Unknown. Thanks for listening to Left and Straight Show. We'll see you real soon.